Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, welcome to the FDH Lounge, to a very, very special mini-episode of the FDH Lounge. We have a great guest on with us here today. It will be an unbelievable honor to be able to speak with this gentleman. We are wrapping up the celebration of our 500th hour in the FDH Lounge. It started 2 weeks ago with Bob Barker, continuing on with UFC legend Ken Shamrock. We also have the FDH Lounge Pantheon, a celebration of the best of the best of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. And again, we have a very special guest with us today. We've had on previous bandmates of his, gentlemen that he has played with before, with Journey, Greg Rowley and Steve Smith. But I think it's pretty safe to say, in the public mind, this is the gentleman most associated with Journey over the long course of their career. Of course, he has had a great and successful solo career as well. In a moment, we'll be bringing on the one and only Steve Perry to speak with us. It's an unbelievable honor to speak to this gentleman, to be able to get some thoughts from him about his career, his accomplishments, the things that he has upcoming still. They're going to be in the process of releasing some new albums, celebrating the best of Journey's catalog and also his personal solo catalog. So we'll be speaking about these matters with him, and we'll be getting him on the phone lines in just a second here. And again, I want to thank everyone who made this happen, for the chance to speak with him today, from his management to the FDH New York Bureau, Steve Servillo, to everyone who has been instrumental in helping to set this up, and not least of which our good friends at Sportsology, our good pal Russ Cohen at Sportsology for making this happen and providing the platform for us to be able to speak with him today. And we're going to be getting him on, as I say, on the phone lines in a minute. It will be a direct conversation with Steve, just between myself and Steve, just to make that point clear to everyone. But it is again, as I say, an incredible honor to be able to speak with one of the defining voices, really, of a certain period of time for a lot of us that were growing up. This was one of the great influences musically that a lot of folks had, and it was just really, really exciting to us to be able to make this booking happen. And I'm very pleased and I'm very proud to kick off the 500th hour of the FDH Lounge by welcoming in the legendary Steve Perry. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rick.
Sir. It's good to have
Rick.
You on.
Rick, not just yet.
Rick, we're conferencing right. Steve in right now. Hold on.
Okay. Going to be getting him on momentarily.
In my chain.
like a gig.
Hi, Rick.
Steve, welcome to the FDH Lounge, sir. It's a pleasure to have you in. How are you today?
Good. Could you speak a little louder? I can barely hear you.
Yes, sir. Yes, no problem. It's a pleasure to have you on the program, Steve. I know you've got so many great things that are happening right now with the vinyl remastering of Journey Greatest Hits 1, with the Greatest Hits 2 coming out, the remastering of Street Talk. What a very exciting time it must be for you. How did these projects happen to come about right now on the calendar? What led to the release of these projects right now?
Well, you know, Sony has, for the longest period of time, I think unbeknownst to a lot of people, they've been calling me from time to time, and I think the last one before this was a complete remastering and re-release of the whole catalog, and then before that, there was an essential package that was done. So Sony called me again and asked if I would oversee the remastering to vinyl, which is really exciting because vinyl, in my opinion, especially on 180-gram vinyl, it sounds amazing sonically. And so I was very excited to see all these tracks returned to the medium that they originally were mixed for. You know, I mean, these songs, when we would go into the studio, we would literally know where the destination, meaning the last destination, which was vinyl, was. And so when you recorded those back in the day, you'd record on tape, and then you'd run them through certain console enhancements, and then you'd master them. But everything was geared towards sonically and from a fidelity standpoint to make it sound the best it could once someone dropped a needle on a piece of vinyl. So there's certain things that means characteristically, meaning you gotta make allowances along the way and change things because vinyl is very specific to what it can tolerate and what it can't. In other words, there's certain distortion things that can happen with sibilants, S and Ts, that the cutting head, when you cut the lacquer to make vinyl, will not tolerate. So these were, I would say, limitations back in the day, but with Pro Tools now and all the stuff that we can do from a digital standpoint, we don't have to sacrifice the overall sound of it. We can really do some things in Pro Tools and fix the little problematic areas by themselves and really have a better sounding record than ever. And I think that's what just happened with the new release of the Greatest Hits on vinyl and also now the new release of Greatest Hits 2 and Street Talk 2. My solo album was also just recut to vinyl 2, the first one I ever did.
Absolutely, and Steve, it's very interesting because I think this would be counterintuitive to a lot of people in terms of what you just said there, because we tend to think of the digital tools, most of us anyways, as being sort of separate and distinct from that, but the notion of taking these instruments and reapplying them to the vinyl process, I'll bet there's a lot of people who probably wouldn't even fully appreciate until you just said that, just how possible that is and how much better you can make the vinyl.
Well, the thing about digital was when it showed up, everybody was so pleased because all of a sudden there's no more dragging a piece of vinyl with a needle, you know, and no grit. And everybody went, oh, listen how quiet it is. And digital was much more able to take more level. So everything got louder, and digital could take more high frequency and more low frequency, so everything got bigger. But the problem with digital that every musician who's in the music business knew about, but nobody in the music business would listen to us, was that there is a certain harshness to high-frequency sound when it's digitally reproduced. Because you have converters trying to keep up the best they can with analog-to-digital conversion of music that was originally recorded on tape, you know. So the high-end can be a little harsh, as we used to say, if you're not careful. So it not means that it's a bad sounding CD. It just means the high end is not as user friendly as the high end is on record, because that whole medium of listening to music on vinyl is it's hard to explain it. It's more like this. It's not necessarily better or worse. It just feels good. Vinyl is something I just want to keep turning up. And digital, I don't need to turn up too much. But the vinyl, I just want to rock it louder and louder and keep turning it up. And it never hurts me. It just makes me feel better and better.
Well, Well, and I'm curious to know also how you feel in terms of the emotions of it. This is how a lot of people, of course, experience this the first time around. Do you feel like it's a way of renewing an emotional connection with the audience, since this is how so many people caught it the first time around?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I renewed a connection with myself.
Okay.
I forgot how great these tracks sounded until I started going through all these tracks again. And until I had to, like, convert them through beautiful tube amps, because the cutting head on a lathe that cuts a acetate lacquer with a cutting head, that particular medium is such an amazing lost art that the only way to really make it work and is to go through its electronics. And its electronics on this old cutting head is the most beautiful tube amps you've ever seen. And they're just so harmonically friendly to the music, because it's just like some kind of, for lack of a better term, it just feels like the music is being embraced somehow. So going through the medium like that and then listening to it come off the acetate cutting was like rediscovering how good the band really was. And I mean, I really forgot how hard we worked together and how hard we worked for the mixes to be great and the arrangements and the performances. And, you know, this, you've got to remember that the greatest hits and the greatest hits too spans about 20 years worth of music there. And so in 78, back in those days, there was not a computer to be found.
Right.
So if you threw cheeseburgers out in that tracking room, you'd get cheeseburgers on a piece of 2-inch tape.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you recorded out there is what you got. So everything you're hearing was performed by people with their heart and their experience and their talent at the time it was recorded. There was no shortcuts. There was no auto-tuners for voices. There was no nothing like that. So it was absolutely record it, try to capture the best performance possible, and then overdub it and sing on it and mix it. So there's a lot of different things that went along those stages, including different recording consoles like Neve consoles. Some of them recorded on SSL. Some are recorded on Trident consoles. And so every time you change a studio, there'd be a different console with a different situation. So they all sonically had their own different stamp on them. That being said, there was also a challenge when it came time for me to master them, that they all have a similar sound, a similar volume, and then sequence them so that they, you know. I must tell you, I thought a lot about what John Cain and Neil Sean used to say when we were in this phase together. I brought them into me so much because I was listening to them so hard every day that it was a reintroduction to what they contributed so much to the music and everything. And I started remembering things that John would say and Neil would say about sequencing. And I tried to bring that into my consciousness so I could really, really, as if they were there, you know, sequence the record.
Well, this is a wonderful look behind the curtain, Steve. No question. I want to ask you about some of the newer things you're working on as well here, but I've got to ask you a follow-up on that as well, because the Greatest Hits 1, Greatest Hits 2, these projects here, that era of Journey, if you will, I mean, that's the one that we all think of. These are the songs that all pop into our minds. And it's obligatory for me to ask you, as I've done when we've had Jimmy Jameson on previously or John Oates, what do you hear when you're driving in the car and you hear some of your tunes come on, or you're flipping around on TV and you hear it? Did it long ago cease being kind of a surreal thing to you, or how does it feel just knowing that at any given point in time you could turn something on and hear some of your songs?
Well, first of all, I'm lost for words that even still happens, because in my heart of hearts, I never knew that this music would have as much of a timeless quality of it we were all reaching for. We really tried to write and record timeless music. And for us, that was reaching for the best performance, the best songwriting, the best sonics we could at the time. But I don't think anyone, if I can speak for the rest of the band members and myself, I don't think none of us realized that we would be so fortunate to still see that happening, where you can turn the radio on today. I just feel so fortunate that that's happening. But how I hear them now is totally different than the way I used to hear them, because for working on them for years and performing them with the band for years, I heard them a certain way. But now that I've been out of the band since 98 and we haven't recorded a record since God knows when then, I'm able to now almost hear them as fans hear them, and I'm kind of surprised what I'm hearing. You know, it's like, I think I'm hearing them for the first time, to be honest with you.
It's really amazing material, no question about that. And, of course, we talked about also in there Street Talk with the vinyl remastering of that as well. And that leads to some other talk here, too, in terms of your solo material. I've read that you've got some other things that you're working on here. And I'm curious as to the shape of it and the way that it might end up going. And I realize that it's probably a work still in progress as far as the direction. But I'm wondering if it's something that's likely to be very, very familiar to fans of the Street Talk era, or I think I read another description where you described it as potentially being more contemporary. Is it kind of a mix? What does it look like in your mind, if indeed there is kind of a direction yet for the next solo project?
I think the direction is that it is kind of a mix, because I never calculate any writing direction. I mean, and like I told another...
Steve, I think you were breaking up a little bit there. Can you hear me? Steve?
Looks like we may have an issue.
Okay.
I guess we lost him. Rick, I'll try and effort him again. Keep things rolling for another minute or two.
I appreciate that, Russ. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate that. We'll get him back on. I believe Steve's phone... dropped here at this point. We'll work to get him back on in the time that we have remaining. And again, we are speaking
legendary.
Steve Perry back with us here. Steve, I'm sorry. I think you were breaking up there for a second. We were talking about the direction of any subsequent solo music you're going to have coming out. Steve?
Yeah, I guess still a problem. All right, I'm going to try and reset up this tray. All right.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much, Russ. And much appreciated for this. We're appreciating getting the chance to talk with Steve Perry of Journey, and also an excellent solo artist, and getting to speak on various facets of his career and of everything that he's had going on. And we've greatly appreciated the chance to get him here with us on the phone lines today. We appreciate what a precious opportunity this is to get to talk with him about his music, everything that's gone on behind it. We've gotten here thus far some of what the music means to him, as well as to those around him, and his thoughts about how it's reflected out there to the audience, and really become something, as he indicated, timeless in a way that they never anticipated might be possible. But it's truly been outstanding getting to talk to him here, and this, of course, being a celebration of the 500th hour of the FDH Lounge, culminating again what we started 2 weeks ago with Bob Barker, subsequently with UFC legend Ken Shamrock, also the FDH Lounge Pantheon, a celebration of the best of the best in all walks of life. These, along with our Steve Perry conversation, are constituting together our celebration of 500 hours of programming in the FDH Lounge. And we are, as I indicated, working to get Steve Perry back on the phone lines with us here. It's really been tremendous to get some insights from him, and we look forward to doing so again in the time that we still have remaining with him. I will mention also other great segments upcoming in the FDH Lounge. We're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks another catch-up on the NFL season and NCAA football. with analyst Kyle Ross. He will be back on with us for that subsequently. And we will be doing, along with our racing analyst Mike Petak, our tribute to former lounge guest Dan Weldon. We will have that in the time ahead upcoming on the program here. We feel that it is a necessity for us to commemorate the man. He was very good to us and very kind to come on in the aftermath of his victory, his very stirring victory this year at the Indianapolis 500. So we will have a Dan Weldon tribute coming in the weeks upcoming on the FDH Lounge. So many great things taking us into the Thanksgiving holiday and the time beyond that. And I want to salute as well, as I did a moment ago here on the lines, our good friend Russ Cohen of Sportsology. It is the great hospitality from Sportsology that has allowed us to be able to set up this conversation with Steve today. And I know Russ is doing yeoman's work as we speak, trying to reconnect Steve to the program here after he had dropped due to the phone issues. So we are hopeful of being able to get him back on in the time to come. But again, as I indicated, a celebration of 500 hours of the FDH Lounge. We're very grateful to everyone who has helped make that happen over the course of the last almost 5 years. We will be celebrating our program's five-year anniversary January 14th, 2012. So we have that not too far down the road, and we will look forward to doing that, looking back on the 500 hours and beyond, as it will be at that period of time. And we're already starting to draw up some rough plans right now for a proper five-year celebration, averaging, I guess it would be more than a shade over 100 hours a year. So we're looking very much forward to that as well. And we will be, as I indicated, picking up here again in a moment with Steve Perry, legendary frontman of Journey and a solo artist, in the midst of a great conversation with him before his phone unfortunately dropped. And we will be working to get him back on here in a moment and be able to resume our conversation in the time that we have remaining. I'd like to get to some more issues with him when we get him back on the phone lines here. It's been great thus far to be able to hear all of his thoughts on the forthcoming re-releases of Greatest Hits 1 going to vinyl, and of course Street Talk also being remastered and going to vinyl, and Greatest Hits 2 for Journey coming out, and everything was encompassed in the processes with that. Of course, the new solo material that he's got going on, we had just started to touch on that with him before his phone dropped, evidently a cell phone, as that is prone to happening. Not the first time that's happened for somebody with us, and won't be the last time, but we were right in the midst of speaking about his subsequent solo material and what that was, the form that was likely to take, and getting into a little bit of a description of that. Steve had indicated that it was likely to be a mix, that it was likely to be a mix of the contemporary and perhaps the more familiar for those listening to back in the day for in the era of Street Talk, and when that was such a huge success in 1984 and catapulted him into solo superstardom, as well as everything that he had tasted with the incredible success fronting Journey up to that period of time and beyond. So it will be very interesting to see. A name that was mentioned by me a little bit earlier on, one of our guests that we've enjoyed having on previously, Jimmy Jameson, somebody who would be comparable in terms of that voice of a decade caliber in terms of his hits with Survivor in the 1980s, also being omnipresent on the radio up to this very day. I know that when we've spoken with Jimmy at various points in time, there are times when he's mixed it up. He's done some straight blues stuff. He's kind of gone old school. Jimmy's a guy from Memphis, so he's kind of delved back into that a little bit from time to time. But then his most recent material that he came out with, he managed to recapture that 80s sound in his most recent project. And that is, it sounds like the catalog that Jimmy Jameson has put up over the course of the last several albums if I'm to paraphrase what Steve was saying before he was before his phone unfortunately dropped, it sounds like that might be encompassed all within the one solo project that he's working on, because there's only, from what I've read, about three songs that are committed to go on the next solo project, to the extent that anything can be committed, because there have been no firm plans made or anything like that, and nothing that would stop him from being able to readjust that, readjust the expectations and the timetable and whatnot. But supposedly there have been a couple of dozen song ideas that have been bandied about, and it was very interesting right before Steve was cut off to hear him be able to say that it sounded like it was going to be a mix of various different aspects, some more contemporary, some from back in the day, with the influences of the 1980s, of the street talk era, such as, again, the new album that is being remastered to vinyl. And just to recap on that, Street Talk being remastered to vinyl, Journey Greatest Hits Volume 1 being remastered to vinyl, and Journey Greatest Hits 2, which was just released for the very first time, and Steve had gone back in. It was very interesting to hear him reminisce on that and the process and everything that went back, that went into that. We are kind of waning in our available time here. We're down to about 3.5 minutes, so we'll continue to give it time here and see if we can get one last thought in from Steve before the end. But we are at this point very close to the end of what would be our allotted spot of getting to speak with Steve. So more truncated than perhaps we would have liked, but what we got thus far out of him was so tremendous already that we'll call it a success if that's all it ends up being. But again, tremendously grateful to him, tremendously grateful to his management for making it happen. I want to give a shout-out to Laura over there and his management for being great and being able to get him back on with us here. And we are, again, efforting to get him on in the allotted time remaining. We're down inside of 3 minutes, and it's starting to look like that might not happen and like it might just be perhaps a perfunctory last thought from him if it gets to that point. But as I say, very grateful for what we've been able to get from him thus far, albeit in a more shortened time span than we initially had thought. That solo project is really something that everybody should be looking forward to. A chance to get to hear him and experience his music and get to check it out in the various different forms that it promises to be. We had covered that with him there. It was great to hear also, I want to highlight for anybody to go back and listen to as well, his thoughts on the vinyl process and why they chose to use vinyl and use, which I thought was particularly interesting and illustrative, updates in technology to be able to improve the sound on vinyl. That was something that was truly surprising to me. And, again, I was not knowing as much about the process, as I'm sure most people out there aren't as well. You've probably got to be pretty hardcore in the music industry to be able to have had knowledge at a time of what he was talking about. And so it's always great when you can get those kind of behind-the-scenes insights. So I am very proud that we got a chance to share those here today with you. And we're down inside to about a minute or so with our time remaining. So at this point, we're not going to be able to get Steve back on with us. I want to thank Steve. I want to thank his management. I want to thank everyone who was a part of making this happen. It was a shade more truncated than we thought it was going to be today, but we're very grateful for what we were able to get. When you can get a legend like Steve Perry on with you for any period of time, you take it gratefully, as we have. So I want to say thanks very much to him and to his people for having made this happen. We hope that you continue to check us out. The FDH Lounge, it's the show where nothing is off topic, the Great American Radio Show. We greatly appreciate you having been on with us here today, those of you who are checking us out. We'll catch you soon. The FDH Lounge at thefdhlounge.com.